your tender mercies, Lord God, and for your word is true. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done, and we're here, and we're thankful that the Super Bowl is not at 10 in the morning. We thank you, Lord God. Hopefully they'll start making it on a Saturday, but who knows? But thank you, God, and we pray for all the teams that are playing. Whoever wins, wins, Lord God, and here we are, we're already winners because we're followers of you, Lord Jesus. And so speak a word now for us, because we're listening. Speak a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so my sermon title today is Jesus, the Praying Healer. And now we know that little song was beautiful, wasn't it? Right? When Jesus, the healer, wasn't it beautiful? And I have seen that song so many times. And I look at it and I thought, you know, I read the words are so good, because the words of that song is from the Gospels. Did you realize that the song, the opening hymn, the word is from the Gospels? Especially the Gospel of Mark, the writer, who's a United Methodist hymn writer. Forgot his name now, but it's from England, and it's a kind of folk kind of music. He was writing it through the Scriptures. And if you notice the words, just to begin, and I'll get to the rest of it, when he says, when Jesus the healer passed through Galilee, heal us today. The deaf came to hear and the blind came to see. It is from this gospel, right? Because it's one of the hymns for today. Then he goes on, he says, a paralyzed man was let down through the roof. We know that story where the friends brought their friend to Jesus, and they couldn't get in, and they let him down through the roof. So it's all in the words of the song. I'm not going to go to the whole Bible. And we all know about Jairus' daughter, right? She was dead, and he would go, and he would speak. Jairus said, speak, and my child will be healed, and he did. And of course, blind Bartimaeus. So this whole song is about Jesus' healing powers, and that he can heal, and that he does heal, and that he still heals. And thanks be to God for that. So I'm glad I tried it last night on YouTube. I played it on YouTube, but it was late, and I thought, the tune is not bad. We could get it, right? Because sometimes when I play the tune, and it seems, you know, a little bit, if it's hard for me to get, I think, well, they're not going to get it, you know, so I don't. But, you know, the choir may, but average person, but beautiful. We will do that song again. I really do love it. And then the very last verse reminds us that there's still sickness and suffering today, but we can call out, heal us, Lord Jesus, heal us today. He is in the healing business, our Savior. And so my sermon title today is Jesus the Praying Healer. And I want to begin with this brief reflection. Sherry Turk, a professor of the social studies of science and technology at MIT, has interviewed hundreds of people of all ages about their daily fixations on social media and new technologies like smartphones and tablets. Don't we all know that, right? In a recent interview with the Scientific America, Turkle is worried that there is at least one hidden cost to our addiction to technology, the loss of solitude. So true. Turkle says, and I'm included in this survey, sometimes I'm looking on my phone and I don't know why. I'm just looking for something. And then I have Facebook on Pages as an app, and I'm looking at Ellen, I'm always looking at it and checking something. Why? Turkle says, I do some of my field work at the stop signs. She's admitting, a psychologist. At checkout lines, at supermarkets. Give people even a second and they're doing something with their phone. Every bit of research says people's capacity to be alone is disappearing. What can happen is that you lose that moment to have a daydream or to cast an eye inward. Instead, you look to the outside. Solitude is the precondition of having a conversation with yourself. This capacity to be with yourself and discover yourself is the bedrock of development. But now, from the youngest age, even 2 or 3 or 4, children are given technology that removes technology by giving them something externally distracting. That makes it harder, ironically, to form true relationships. I have so many examples of children who will be talking with their parents. Something will come up and the parent will go online to search. And the kids will say, "Daddy, stop. Stop Googling. I just want to talk to you." See, that's happening. Isn't it the truth? And I've become a medical doctor and I didn't even go to medical school. I'm always Googling. I'm self-diagnosing. I go to my doctor and I tell him what I have. And he says, "And where did you get that from?" And I says, I saw it on WebMed. I told him that the other day. He says, "On WebMed," I says, "and I think I'm having this." He says, "Well, I still have to draw your blood because WebMed didn't tell you everything. Nothing is wrong with you." But you know, we are all Googling and checking. I go in, you know, once I had major sinus trouble. It was killing me and I swore that I had a brain tumor. So I went to the doctor, my ear, nose, and throat guy, and I says, "Doctor, I think I have an ear." And he says, "You do? How do you know?" I says, I saw the symptoms on the internet. And he looked down my nose and says, "You don't have an ear." You know, I'm just saying that it's getting crazy. Now, my little grandbaby, she's 8, going to be 9 in July. She thinks she's going to be 20. And she used to always talk. She's a talker. I don't know who she gets that from, but she's a talker. And she would always talk, and now she has a phone. I don't know why they did that. I did not agree. Her father got her a phone, but people are raising their children, so you got to stare at it sometimes, even though it was killing me.
They keep you busy.
And now when she comes over, she doesn't even talk, and she's a talker. She's always on it. So I told her mother the other day, I says, "You've got to take that phone away from her, you know, phone, because she's always on it. I'm of no interest to her anymore." And we used to have conversation. So that's true. We are not having solitude time, and I'm going to show you that we do need that. And so I read this other thing. A church sells a CD filled with silence. It says a church in England has recorded the sound of silence onto a CD, which has become a surprise hit with its congregation. Members of the St. Peter's Church in Sussex, England, recorded a little bit of silence of the building's atmosphere. And the recording features the sound of steps, the voices, background, traffic noise, but mostly just silence. And Robin Yorton, a church technician at St. Peter's, said, it does what it says, on the tin. Silence is all you get. Mostly people have said it's nice and they like it. And that's it. Quiet and peaceful. The full CD features a 30-minute track with a spoken introduction. And now this has become a hit. People are listening to silence. Can you imagine? Because we no longer have solitude. And when we don't have solitude, what happens? We get stressed. You know, we get stressed, we get overwhelmed, and Jesus is going to show us today that he himself, who was a great physician, we call Jesus the great physician, right? The one who can heal and who heals us. He himself needed solitude. He needed silence. He needed to get away so that he could build our strength. And we need to do that, to get away. And so as I get to the gospel story, I wanted to share with you, and I know that they were cracking up at the service this morning, but I'm telling the truth. I went every now and then. I'll take a week. I like going away by myself, and I don't like to share rooms when we're going to these retreats. They know that. I said, I'm not sharing any room with anybody, but if I can. But I went to this, I was up in Connecticut, and I went, there's a place right on the water and the sound in Madison, and I took for 4 or 5 days there, and I was by myself, like I did last year, and I go, I bring my books and so on, but I'm kind of used to seeing other people. There are other retreat folks. You don't know them. There are people on individual retreats or group retreat. And when you call up, they'll let you know. So I went that time, And normally you go to the dining room, you see folks, and you say, hi, good morning, how are you? And you're walking in the garden, and you'll say something, well, I go on this retreat, and I walk into the garden, and I see this woman, and I said, good morning. And she's just looking at me. And I'm thinking, something is up. So I walk to another. So I get to the dining room. Normally at the dining room for breakfast and lunch, people speak. You know, you go over, and where are you from, and so on. And everybody is silent. I'm thinking, I'm going to lose my mind. I got 5 days here. No, you know, I'm an extrovert. You know, I could be very alone, but I'm an extrovert by nature. So I'm thinking, I paid my 5 days. What am I going to do? So I go to the office, and I'm saying, maybe these people don't like me. But they don't know me. They really know me. They'd love me. So I go to the front desk, and I said, you know, what is going on? Nobody's talking. She says, well, you know, we had an extra room when you wanted to book, but there's a silent retreat here. I says, there is what? She says, a silent retreat. Can you imagine me at a silent retreat? There is nobody talking. And for 5 days, you're not going to talk. Everybody's just walking, looking at everybody. Just silent. No speaking. And remember now, when we get to our rooms, they used to have a room with a TV, which I got once, but there was no TV in the rooms. And I'm used to that. You get your books and so on. But you can't talk. I said in the fourth day, I said, I better run out of this place. I'm going to go crazy. Silence. And you can't get on your cell phone because I got to, you know, when you get into the garden, it overlooks the sound. So I figure if I go right on close to the water, I'm going to talk. So I started talking and this nun came up and tapped me. No speaking. I was on my cell phone. Silence is hard, right? Solitude. So by day five, I was dying to get back to Bridgeport so I could talk to them crazy people just like me. It's very hard to go away and get silence. But Jesus wanted us to do that, to be silent. And I go away in those things sometimes to make myself silent. I really want to go so I don't have to answer the phone because my job is one that I'm always talking to folks. And to be silent. We see Jesus doing that. Jesus, the script tells us, the gospel tells us that Jesus heals many at Simon Peter's house, right? At Simon's house. And we read in the Bible that here is Jesus, and his ministry has begun now, right? Mark is talking about his ministry. That's why we're in green. We call it ordinary times. His ministry is the ministry of Jesus, right? He has been baptized. And he was born and then baptized, and he's not transfigured yet. But we see his ministry, and now he's Jesus the man. And he's performing these miracles, and people are lining up. And so the text says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered Simon Peter's house, and his mother-in-law was in bed sick. She had the fever. And they came to tell Jesus, and they told him about her at once. And that she came and she took him by the hand and lifted her up, and then the fever left her. He healed her immediately. That's why that song is called When Jesus the Healer Came to Galilee, because a lot of those miracles were in Galilee, right? When he came to Galilee, lots of folks. And so people heard, and they heard, and everybody was lining up outside, coming, trying to come in to get healed. People who are demon-possessed, you know, I talked about the demon-possessed people last week, so you've already heard that, you know, they were spiritually and mentally, needed healing, because people need all kinds of healing, and we do now, don't we? We do need healing now in our nation and in our lives and in our world, and so the sick came, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. And he would not permit them to speak. So Jesus must have gotten tired. Do you know we get tired from doing? Do you get tired from just doing? Doing. We get busy doing and doing. And sometimes you just want to sit down. I said to someone a couple of days ago, I says, I'm going away for a couple of days, really on a mission trip, but it's going to be dialogue. But I says, I'm dying to get on the plane so I could just sit down. Hopefully I don't have a talker next to me. But I don't have to talk. I'm going to bring my book. I don't talk much on the plane. I'm going to sleep. You just want to sit down and just sleep and just think on God. But here's what Jesus does that we can learn from. With all that work he's doing and all that healing, it is taking a toll on him. And he's reminding us that it takes a toll on us. And the Bible says, in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Jesus never did any miracle or anything he did in the scriptures without praying. And he would oftentimes go away from the group to a place of quiet, solitude. He needed to hear from God. Friends, we need to do the same thing. It is a very good discipline to get up in the morning or at night, but certainly get even for a few minutes and just talk to God for yourself in quiet. In quiet. There are folks who have young children, and I know a couple of pastors will say they go into the bathroom, close the door, and for 5 minutes they're praying or just reading the scripture when their children were young. That's how we draw our strength. And Jesus knew that. And I think so many of us are running on empty. We're running on empty because guess what? We're taking no time to talk to God for ourselves. It's okay to come to church and to hear the prayers in the church and the corporate prayers. It is okay to do that. That's part of liturgy. But building relationship with Jesus Christ means we have to take the time to build relationship with Jesus. We've got to take the time. And it's not just that it's good for Jesus. It's good for us. It is good for us. And so we see Jesus here. He is going to take the time out into this deserted place. And when Simon and his companions, they were looking for him, hunted him, tracking him down. They found him. And they said, everyone is searching for you. And Jesus did not want to run back to them. And you'll see it over and over. Now, I said earlier this morning that when you see, we always say when we are even at seminaries, we would say when you see a story about Jesus in one gospel, you know, you start wondering, did Mark ever really heard that? When you see it in four gospels, we say, it got to be true because all four gospels talks about the prayer life of Jesus. Jesus had a very strong prayer life, and if he does, so do we. And we need to find time to pray. For example, I'll give you some examples of Jesus praying. Jesus would pray after healing people. He prayed all night before choosing his 12 disciples. Could you imagine? All night long. And he knew, and Jesus was the Son of God. You know, he gave God thanks. He prayed before he walked on the water. He prayed before he healed the deaf man. He prayed, you know, we remember from the thousand of the 500, the blessing of the bread that would feed the 5,000. Scripture tells us that he prayed there. He lifted up the bread and it multiplied. Our power is in our time with the Lord. Because oftentimes, I was thinking about this in a local church, you know, that when we're young and stronger, we think we could do everything by our might. I normally observe sometimes older people, especially older men, who have worked all their life in the church. And you know that they could do everything, right? They do everything, they keep the church clean, they could clean. But as they begin to get older, what happens? They can't do it anymore, right? And that happens to all of us. We can only do but so much from our own strength, right? But with the strength of the Lord, right, it will bring us through. And we need to continue to be able to pray and to seek God and to find time to be with the Lord, to find time to be in relationship with God. How are we going to know God? It's like building our own personal relationship, isn't it? With a spouse, with a lover, with a friend. You have to spend time with them, don't you? Right? Marriages fall apart, relationships break up because we don't spend time. We don't get to know each other. The only way we're going to get to know God is to spend time. And is God asking us to spend all day and all night long? No. But it's the final time to us to be in prayer, to be in dialogue,
with the Lord, to know that the Lord cares for us, to understand, right? And maybe to turn down the phone, right? I found myself the other day, and oh, I tell you, that was so sinful, that we were in a worship service, and they were saying something, and I found myself looking down at my cell phone. Now I wasn't talking, but guess what I was going to do? There was a text that popped up, and I was going to answer it. And I said, what are you doing? Well, you're not a medical doctor. It's not an emergency. It's not like, you know, you could. What are you doing? I had to put it down. Always glancing at it. And that moment, I needed to hear what that person was saying. Needed to get food for my soul, right? Because we have the biggest burnout, pastors. We're one of the group who have the biggest burnout. Do you know that? And we cross boundaries. When you have burnout, you cross boundaries. When you don't stop and have time to talk to God and to reflect on yourself and what you're doing, you cross boundaries. You do things that you ought not to do, right? Because you get tired and you get burnt out. And you know the other thing, when you get tired and you get burnt out, what happens? You eat the wrong things. Because you get hungry, right? And you eat the wrong things. It is all so important. When I was in seminary, I went to, there was a course called World Religion, and we went to a Buddhist service. And you know, a lot of European bodies, a lot of American bodies on this side of the world are not made to be sitting on a thing for a long time. And I was skinnier then, and they put us on a mat, and we were sitting, and we should sit on it and meditate. And sometime during the meditation, I heard one lady behind me snoring. Because, you know, it was solitude, but I heard one lady behind me, and she was snoring, because we 5 minutes, and we are snoring, because you see what it's saying. And by the time, you know, get to my time, I started nodding over, because that length of time, finally, when I had to get up, I just lay down, and they had to help me to get up, because my poor body couldn't manage. But the idea of just sitting for an hour, this was... we weren't sitting for an hour. You know, we were only sitting for, we thought it was eternity. 5 minutes. We thought we had been there zam-zam for days. And it was only 5 minutes, and we were supposed to talk to God and just concentrate and concentrate. And it was so out of our lives. But we need that time, friends. We need a time to reflect, to spend time with God. Jesus tells us that. If Jesus needed the time to pray and the time to be alone, don't we need that time to be alone? Don't we need that time to get, you know, the source of our power from the Lord? So Jesus reminds us today that there is a time for prayer. And that's why he was such a great physician. That's why he can still heal. Because he knew how to work hard, and he knew how to stop and rest. Take time for himself. Sometimes we begrudge taking time for ourselves. Do you know that? We work and work and work and do. So today I want to encourage all of us to have a time of solitude, right? And remember, solitude is not watching the ball game tonight. That's not solitude, because there's going to be a lot of screaming and yelling, right? It is a time away to be with God. And so as I encourage you today, I think of what Paul says. You know, I want for you to get the gospel so much, to understand it and the power of it. Not because it does anything for me. It's not for my self-aggrandizing. I'm not on television making a lot of money telling stories about the gospel. It is because I know the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. That it works. It helps me and it helps you. Right? And if we could follow Jesus and his example, this is my heart's desire. When I get to heaven, I want to hear the Lord said, you have done what I've called you to do, to spread my love and to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus. You have done your best. Right? You've done your best. Right? Like Paul, you've done your best. Just trying to say to somebody somewhere that Jesus is the healer and Jesus loves you, and we should call on him. And so that's why when we pray, when oftentimes when I pray, I am calling on the name of Jesus. Because I believe that he can still heal. I know he can still heal. And that he can provide peace and refuge for us during times of crisis. And even if we don't get the answers we want, I said yesterday to my group when I did prayer, we may not get the yes we want. We may not get it right then. Sometimes Jesus says, hold on. Sometimes he says, no. Sometimes he says, you're not going to get that. The key is he's going through it with us. He's journeying through it with us, to the pain and to the sorrow. But we must be in right relationship with him. Find time for yourself. Find time to spend time with God. 5 minutes a day. 2 minutes. Build up on it. An hour if you can. Find time to be in relationship with him. It's the best thing for us. And I'm sure Dr. Nini is here. I'm sure it helps our high blood pressure. I'm sure calming down. Right? And taking a moment to meditate and read God's word. And hearing that God loves you. Sometimes we read the scriptures. It can be so fulfilling. So fulfilling. As I close, I was speaking to a young child the other day, a young person who was, I told a little bit this morning, who they said was a cutter, and a cutter and written something terribly on her arm, and I didn't want, you don't know them, they're not here in this community, and had written empty. You're not cut into empty. You know, the world is full of technology. And because of the word of God, I didn't know what else was what to say fully, but I went to the scripture. And I went to Psalm 139, and I began to share the word and said, you know, where the scripture says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the utmost part of the earth, even there will you find me. I said to the young person, no matter where you go, the Lord loves you. And then I said to them, because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what that psalm says. Marvelous are your works, and this I know so well, for I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And I said, do you know that you're wonderful, fearfully made? And I said to the young person, God doesn't make a mistake. You were never a mistake. You are wonderful just the way you are. God's word. God loves you no matter what. God cares about you. God is never going to leave you. No matter what you're doing, to give them hope, the word of God, to be in relationship. If I have not been in relationship with Jesus and knew the words, and I don't mean to be a pastor, I mean being in relationship with Jesus, I wouldn't have known the simple words to tell that person. And the young person started to weep. He says, don't you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? You're marvelously made. God knew you before your mother and father came together and has determined your destiny. So you got to want to live. So we go to get strength so we could do what? Get strength to give to others. That's what Paul is saying. He's learning. He learned the gospel. He answered the call so that he could share that with others. But we have got to have our own prayer life. So we could help others. Thanks be to God for knowing Jesus. Because there's a lot of folks out there who needs to hear from us who know Jesus. Amen.